Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
The Volume.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here. And DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. North Carolina listeners, don't forget DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code John, J-O-H-N. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code John. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What is going on? Hopefully everyone had a good weekend. It's me, John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. And here's the plan. We were going to do something with Colin tonight, but we're going to end up doing that tomorrow. So I was like, you know, I will put out a podcast tonight. There was a big NFL trade that happened this weekend between the Chiefs and the Titans. League meetings are going down, so there's going to be a lot of scuttlebutt out of there the next couple days. And then a little draft daily, some thoughts on J.J. McCarthy, because there is a lot going on in his world for sure when it comes to draft buzz. But you guys know the deal. If you listen on Colin's feed, subscribe. All this is up on the YouTube channel. Content. We'll just keep pedal to the metal. Podcast coming out, moving forward, basically daily. And thevolume.com, we also have some merch. So go check that out, thevolume.com. We got hats and shirts. We might have to make a Fugazi Friday shirt here coming up. But other than that, get ready for some football, baby. The Masters is kind of right around the corner. We got Masters, the draft. April's a fun month. But before we dive into everything, you guys know, my close friends, business partners, and the official ticketing app of this podcast, Game Time. Go to your smartphone, download the Game Time app. The Game Time app allows you to go to anything. Professional sporting events, college sporting events, concerts, comedy shows, you name it. You a big festival guy? You want to get out and, you know, cut a rug out on the grass or the dirt somewhere? They got you covered. Buy a pair of tickets. First pair of tickets, promo code John, J-O-H-N, J-O-H-N, save $20. Your team making a run here in March Madness, you want to go see them play, same thing. NBA playoffs, baseball, you name it, they got you covered. Game time, promo code John, save $20. I think the most wow part of this trade is most people, including myself, thought that an all-pro, elite-level impact guy at a premium position would go for a lot. A late first-round pick, maybe a two and a three. And then when I get a text message, he's been traded. I think it would have been Friday night. And then you look what he got traded for. It was pretty shocking. But it takes two to tango. Like, these guys have clearly a long enough track record of, like, they didn't just trade him for nothing. For randomly, like, I think the market was pretty well established. The moment Detroit got Carlton Davis, like, they were kind of out. And then a lot of the other teams in the mid-20s or teams that, like, aggressive, quote-unquote, a player away, the Eagles spent all their money. Cowboys don't have any money. 49ers already have a highly paid corner in Charvarius Ward, right? Because ideally, if you're the Chiefs, you're not sending them to any good teams in the AFC. The Titans now, we'll get into them in a second. They got a major question mark at the most important position. But, like, that was kind of an easy one. And I think the pushback is, why didn't you just let him play out this season on the franchise tag? And I think the easy answer is, they didn't want to deal with the drama. They didn't want to deal with a guy who probably wouldn't have showed up in training camp and probably just week one gets there and it gets a little weird when they have reinforcements. They did it with Chris Jones. He plays defensive tackle, and he's arguably, when he's on, the best or second-best player at his position in the league. And honestly, when he's on, he's probably non-quarterback, a top 10 player in the NFL. So they did it. They weren't going to do that again. And they weren't going to ever give this guy an extension. Why? They have his replacement, Trent McDuffie. What did Bobby Axelrod say in Billions? What's the point of having FU money if you never say FU? Part of once you start getting equity as an NFL franchise, you can do things where people go, what? Why'd you do that? The Patriots, Belichick, did it for 20-plus years. Everyone's like, this guy's a fucking idiot. And he just kept winning. As long as you got Andy and Mahomes, like, you can make a move that most people are going to disagree with you. Everything I saw on the internet, F for the Chiefs, F for the Chiefs. They didn't just give him to the Titans because they don't think he's any good. They've done a trade where they traded a Hall of Fame level player and they got a first and a second round pick. Clearly, they would have loved a first round pick. Not available. Not there. Now, the only thing you could argue is, why didn't you just let him play it out? Like I said, I don't think they want to deal with the headache. They want no part of that. The other thing is, Snead has leverage here. So if I'm going to trade a second round pick for him, he's like, well, this is the number. The Titans were clearly the team willing to give him the most money. I'm going to make that educated guess as I'm doing this podcast here on Sunday night. I have not seen the contract. But if they're the team willing to give him the most money and some other teams very interested and they're not willing to go remotely close to that, maybe in guarantees, maybe in years, whatever, like, don't trade for me. I'm not going to sign your extension. We talk about players all the time not having that much leverage when they get in the situation. It's not actually true. Because if the team is willing to trade you, which the Chiefs were clearly willing to trade him, he has some say in where he goes. Because if one team's offering an extension at $65 million guaranteed, 50, I'm just throwing out numbers. I don't know what it is. Let's just say 50. And another team's willing to do 38 or 40. Like, yeah, I want that deal. I want that contract. So that actually gives leverage to the trading team. Because ultimately, if he would have hit free agency, he would have got a ton of money. I think there's a pretty good chance he would have got more money than the Titans gave him whenever that number comes out. But he wasn't truly a free agent. So I think what made this really complicated was simple. Chiefs didn't want him. He wanted a lot of money. And a lot of teams that you thought should have been aggressive weren't that interested for whatever reason. I've heard people say the medical stuff sure looked like he was pretty damn healthy last year. I just saw a stat like 65% of his snaps he goes up against the best guy on the other team. Like, he's an elite player. But if you're the Chiefs, you go, well, we got this guy in the fourth round. He became an elite player. See ya. We have your replacement, Trent McDuffie, who we think can even be better. Just like Snead, when we let Charvarius Ward go to the 49ers, we had his replacement in Snead. This is part of being a good drafting team. This is part of having a team that you feel you have reinforcements in younger players. And part of having high-priced players, like they do now in Chris Jones, obviously makes an astronomical amount of money with his new deal. Mahomes makes a ton. Is you have to recycle your fifth and sixth best players sometimes. It's not easy. The other thing is, and that people have reported this and tweeted it out, like they have some younger players that they're going to want to extend. Creed Humphrey, he ain't going anywhere. Trey Smith, they like a lot. Nick Bolton, pretty good, right? And they also want to be in position sometimes where they have a little wiggle room, maybe to sign a guy or two if he becomes available, you know, later on when a guy gets cut, right? So you can sign a better wide receiver. So I think this gets back to, like the Patriots for a long time, you make tough decisions. Ideally, you would have liked to trade him for more. Clearly, they didn't just give him away because they just wanted him to be happy. He had some leverage. The offers weren't as great as most of us thought they would be. And they got rid of a potential headache. Not that he is currently a headache. They like him a lot. He's a good guy. He's been an awesome player. But this is ultimately a business. And when you want to get paid, the only way to get the business side to get you some leverage is to cause a stink. They just went through it. Remember Chris Jones watching the Lions game with his two Italian mobster agents up in the box? Like, why wouldn't this guy do that again? He just saw it kind of work for Chris, essentially. So maybe the Chiefs just, we don't want to deal with that for a guy that is not worth the headache. And so we draw the line now. Do we get much? No, we don't get much at all, which sucks. Could we have handled this different? Maybe traded him last year, I guess. But this guy has been a stalwart on a team that won us two Super Bowls. So yeah, it didn't work out perfectly from an asset addition, but we're at the point, like I said, with Axelrod. F you money. We don't care. We just won back-to-back. First team in 20 years to do that. And let's face it. Are we the betting favorites in the AFC? Who are you taking over us? Lamar to beat us? We just beat his ass on the road. You remember that? Where he didn't do anything against us? What's going to change now? Herbert has no wide receivers. Josh Allen, half his team just got cut. We're going to be okay. So I think that's... Do they do this if they had never won a Super Bowl and they've just been really good the last 5 years and they're like the Buffalo Bills? Probably not. They would be getting eviscerated. But when you're kicking ass every single year, you can do things that a lot of teams go, what? The Bills couldn't have done this, right? The 49ers would have gotten destroyed if they did this. Having equity with the rings and the championships matter. And it allows you to kind of make an uncomfortable situation just kind of go away. Yeah, we don't want to deal with it. Even if the value is kind of really crappy, we don't care. Right? And I think from the Titans standpoint, this is a no-brainer. But you can get this guy for a 2025 third. Yeah, you got to pay him a lot of money. But this is an excellent, high-end, winning player. This is one of the easiest trades they'll ever make. Right? Assuming I don't know anything about the medical stuff, which, again, something's a little fishy. Usually a guy in the prime of his career, 27 years old, the level in which he plays would have been more valued, but for whatever reason he wasn't, and the Titans pounced. Like, they're not in position where they can turn down this deal, right? They have all this cap space. They didn't use it previously on guys like A.J. Brown, and now they're being really aggressive this offseason. And they've added, you know, high-end, really good players, right? I don't want to, you know, Tony Pollard's not really a Pro Bowl based on last year, but like that, he's a good player. Calvin Ridley, good player. Snead, high-end player. But, and they got this new young coach, they got a lot of positive vibes going right now. None of it matters if Will Levis sucks. Like, that's really the end-all be-all. If Will Levis can't play, all this stuff is null and void. You can have the coolest fucking restaurant, the best location. If your food sucks, Godspeed. And that's the thing with Will Levis. He's sneaky kind of old. He just turned 25 years old. To put it in perspective, Lamar Jackson just turned 27. So it's not like Will Levis some spring chicken. And you add these pieces, hopefully your team's better, and this guy's got a year tryout. Because if he does not play well this year and he lets him down, like, they're going to be in the quarterback market. If he does, let's roll with him and we're off and running. And we got a couple more years on a rookie contract. But to me, that's the question I have with the Titans. Is Will Levis any good? His junior year, I liked him a lot. I did. Obviously, his senior year was a disaster. The offensive coordinator, even bigger disaster. Last year, he had some moments where you go, God damn, there's a lot there. Obviously, the athleticism, the arm strength, and then you just see some meltdowns. So now you get an offensive coach who's your head coach, play caller. He gets, because of his last name, Callahan, you get one of the best offensive line coaches in the league in Bill Callahan. So you would assume their offensive line is going to be better. Here's the other thing about the Titans. They don't have a third-round pick, but they have a first-round pick, which is pick 7. A lot of people think that they're just going to get the best tackle on the board, Joe Alt. And they have pick 38. So if they hit on those two picks with Calvin Ridley, with Snead, with Tony Pollard, like they've added a lot of talent in an offseason very, very quickly. But we've seen this before. Like I thought the Jets had a lot of talent. Then Aaron Rodgers gets hurt and they have no quarterback and they have no chance. So if Will Levis is a bottom 10 guy in the NFL starter, they're going to win 6-7 games at best. If he's solid, if he can be a fringe top 15 guy, then yeah, they can compete for the playoffs. And this division's pretty interesting, right? Because most of us are going to pick Houston next year to win the division. Their roster's really talented. They have this young ascending quarterback that, based on his rookie season, was exceptional. Coach is a stud. Like, their team's better than the Titans. The Jags don't know quite what to make of them, but if Lawrence is not as crappy as he was last year, they have some talent on the roster. Like, they should be pretty competitive. But I would imagine the Titans kind of feel like they can compete with those teams. We're going to find out. And like I said, it all gets to the quarterback. If he's just a guy, none of this matters. And it's all about, well, what's your draft stack pick next year and who's in the draft at quarterback? If he's solid, then we're talking about a team that's going to be pretty intriguing pretty fast. And obviously the coach, which I don't know that much about. My buddy in the NFL that worked with him loves him. He's actually now on the staff. But, you know, we'll see how good Brian Callahan is. I saw this thing the Colts tweeted out. They do a great job this time of year, their video team, putting videos out with Ballard and their coaching staff. Like, I'm betting on the Colts. Why? They got Shane Steichen. He's really good. Like, there's a chance Shane Steichen is like the next Shanahan McVay. LaFleur, like, just viewed as a guy going to the playoffs all the time. But it's all going to come down to Anthony Richardson. Is Anthony Richardson any good? Because if Anthony Richardson's good, then they're going to be a problem. If he's not, then they won't, you know? Like, last year, that magic with Gardner Minshew, look at their schedule. So it's going to get harder in the pressure on this young quarterback that hasn't played. So this division actually typically is pretty boring to me. I find it pretty fascinating, and I'm very intrigued to watch these teams. But props to the Titans for getting a deal done and having cap space. This is part of having a lot of cap space. When there are moments when you can pounce, you pounce. And they did.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just a job board. They help you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else. Did you know 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites? LinkedIn's the only one I use. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. They even just launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process even easier and quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/john. That's linkedin.com/john to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The league meeting's happening this weekend. I think we're going to see a lot of the conversations that didn't come to fruition at the Combine continue here. Now, we're not going to see them or hear about them, but that's what's happening. These GMs and these coaches that have had initial conversations either about trades, draft day trades, we had multiple teams now. The Bears are taking a quarterback at one. The Washington football team, Commanders, taking a quarterback at two. Gerard Mayo, the Patriots, keep saying, we are open for business. The Arizona Cardinals last week said, we have a blinking light, open for business. I think there are going to be some, obviously the Chargers would love to trade back. Not all these teams are going to be able to trade back, right? It's just not possible. Not everyone, like a lot of people want to trade back, but these GMs always say it after the draft, like no one was there to move. No one was there to make a trade or vice versa. Like I wanted to trade up, they wanted to take the guy. So you can get in these situations where all three of those teams can't trade back, but Minnesota is clearly going to trade up with one of them. And I think right now, if you're Minnesota, you're trying to figure out, obviously you know Caleb's going one. You feel pretty good that you know the guy going at number two. Like if you know Drake May is going at number two to the Commanders, it's on you to do research. Like, do they like, what quarterback do the Patriots like? Do they not like any of these guys? Is this a reset year for them? You know the Cardinals don't need a quarterback and the Chargers don't need a quarterback. So you got to try to figure out what the Patriots want to do so you can figure out this domino equation, right? Are they just going to take a quarterback no matter what? They'll just take Jaden Daniels? What if they kind of like your guy, J.J. McCarthy? That's where I think it's a little fishy that everyone just thinks Minnesota likes J.J. McCarthy. You never want it out that that's who you like, because when that's the case, sometimes you get jumped. So it's hard to believe everything you read right now, but what I know is at this meeting and the coaches' pictures come out, I never understand why coaches are missing from the picture. Someone DM'd me like, where's Sirianni? Where's McCarthy? Where's Tomlin? Like, your guess is as good as mine. I don't get it. Cool to see Harbaugh back in the mix, but some of the guys wearing tucked in shirts and looking all dapper. I just know that all three of those teams, if they truly want to trade back, are not going to be able to. And Minnesota has to attempt to figure out what we can like pay the least, which we're obviously going to pay a lot, but how do we avoid paying the most humanly possible? If you want to buy something, and whatever you want to buy, you're willing to spend 10 grand, but you're like, I'd probably go to 12, like, but I would love to get it at 8, right? And that's what I think Minnesota is trying to figure out. And they also, until the draft comes around, maybe that they won't even. Like, maybe their quarterback that they like, what if the Patriots take J.J. McCarthy? And they like Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, and they're both off the board at 3. So it throws them off, and they just kind of stand pat. That's why there's just a lot of unknown, a lot of people trying to feel each other out and withhold as much information as they can and figure out how they can get what they want, which is human nature, paying the least amount possible. I think I figured out J.J. McCarthy because he's easily the most polarizing guy right now in the draft world, right? Like, why is everyone talking about, and I'll be the first to admit, when I watched J.J. McCarthy sitting on my couch, and I watched him a lot this year, obviously Michigan was really good, I never thought like top 10 quarterback. But I also was watching him in the lens like, could this guy right now play in the NFL and be really good? Right? Because that's, if you take Caleb Williams right away or Drake May, you want that guy to start immediately. Well, what if J.J. McCarthy really is more of a redshirt guy? He started the last 2 years, he was 19 and 20 years old. And I looked at it, a lot of his workout measurements, like his short shuttle and some of his athleticism. I think his comp is Alex Smith, the 49er Kansas City version, who became a really, really solid player. And I think a lot of people are viewing, whenever you view a top 10 quarterback, you're hoping to hit a home run. You're hoping to get the next Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes. That's who, think of all these comps, like, who's Caleb Williams? Patrick Mahomes. Jaden Daniels, he's the next Lamar Jackson. I've been watching football for 30 plus years. I've seen one Lamar Jackson. I've seen one Patrick Mahomes. Like, who's Lamar Jackson's comp? It ain't Michael Vick. Michael Vick couldn't slide. He got hurt all the time. Who's Patrick Mahomes' comp? Brett Favre? Guy won one Super Bowl. Mahomes already won three. So, I mean, these comps. I was telling someone this the other day on the golf draft. We were on the golf range hitting some balls. So, you know, the crazy part about the draft is when you make a comp, especially to a high drafted player. So I was like, you know, I think this guy could be the next like Reggie White. Honestly, I see a little Patrick Willis in this dude. You're never like, you know, I take this guy at eight, but he's probably like, you know, solid 7 year pro, you know, maybe, you know, a fringe Pro Bowl guy for a couple years in the peak of his career. If you said that, it's like, why are we drafting this guy so high? But what if J.J. McCarthy really is the mold of what Cousins was for a long time, what Alex Smith was before Cousins, kind of that mold. And you're cool with it. Like, that's kind of what you want. Now, Alex was taller than him. I think J.J.'s arm strength is better. But both of them, I think, you know, Alex for a long time was the best game manager in the NFL. But if that's kind of J.J. McCarthy's deal. He did it in Michigan. And if you're in Minnesota, get him with this team. We already got good players for you to play with. Right? We don't need you to go superhuman because just throw some slants to Justin Jefferson. He'll take it 50. Throw a deep out to Jordan Addison. You know, we got some guys. We got a play caller. Alex Smith, his first couple years, really 4 or 5 years, was a disaster because his coaching staff and operation was bad. Well, once he got a high-level guy in Harbaugh, and then even when I worked for the Eagles, Andy wanted to trade for Alex Smith or sign Alex Smith as Michael Vick's backup. Loved him. So, like, if you view him through the lens of, yeah, I don't believe this guy's going to be the next Tom Brady, Joe Montana, but what if he just becomes a really good player for a long time? He also just turned 21 years old. So when I watched him on my couch and I went, yeah, I don't really see a top 10. I'm watching him in the lens of like right now, put him. But that's not how any coach or scout worth their salt is looking at a guy who is young and still moldable and still think of yourself if you're over 30 at 21 years old. You have a lot of growth potential. It's no different with athletes. Guys improve. And I think Minnesota would go, and this is why I think that there's so many people putting him there, of like, we just had success with Cousins. We have Sam Darnold now who can start this year, so J.J. doesn't even need to play right away. So by the time he comes in, he's got like a redshirt year, and then he can hit the ground running. And if this goes bad for Sam Darnold, maybe by the middle of the season, we can insert him and get him some playing time. So I think we're looking at this all wrong. Comparing J.J. McCarthy to Caleb Williams as a prospect is dumb. He does not have the stats of Jaden Daniels. But when you focus on the future, right, the next 10 years, because if I'm drafting a guy in the top five, and most people believe J.J. McCarthy is going to go in the top five, is this guy a multiple contract guy? Are we comfortable with the character, the football intelligence? Has he played in big games? Well, he has. Has he had a lot of pressure on him? Fuck yeah, he has. Has he been coached hard? Hell yeah, he had crazy Harbaugh all over him all the time. So I do understand where it's coming from, right? Now, I say this all the time. There is no such thing as a high floor. Just because your comp is Alex Smith or Kirk Cousins and not Mahomes, you can bust no matter who your comp is, no matter what your physical attributes are. So much stuff is out of your control. You need help at quarterback. Who's your play caller? Who's your offensive line? Who are your skill guys? Is your defense any good? How much pressure is on your team to win? How bad your team? You know, how much mental fortitude do you just have right away? Are you used to a lot of people looking at you? Obviously coming from Michigan, which is basically NFL light. Like I saw Michigan just hired this coach in basketball and he was supposed to go to Louisville. And I was thinking and I understand Louisville is like, you know, a blue blood basketball program, but Louisville financially can't mess with Michigan. Do you know how much more money the Big Ten and the SEC have than the ACC? Michigan just lost their head coach Harbaugh, who was making probably $10 million a year. So they take Sherrone Moore. I don't know how much he's making. He ain't making $9 or $10 million a year, I'll promise you that. So they're saving several million on their football coach, and they're about to expand. They've never made more money. Louisville should not be able to compete with Michigan for a basketball coach. And I know he's a Michigan man, but even if he wasn't, all these people shocked, like, yeah, I understand the draw of the job, but financially, if Michigan or Ohio State or now, you know, Kentucky, like the SEC and the Big Ten money now is so much higher than these other conferences, it's not even close. So it's a long-winded way of saying J.J. McCarthy, what if he's the next Alex Smith?
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mailbag time. Middlecoff Mailbag. Easy to get involved. Fire into my DMs, at John Middlecoff, DMs wide open, firing. This is from Ace. Morning, John. Made an account just for a question for the pod. He definitely did, because his Instagram name's kind of crazy. Do you think the NFL is going to ever be publicly traded? What would need to happen for that to come to fruition? Well, people in finance could probably describe this 500 times better than me. But I would imagine, let's use In-N-Out, for example. In-N-Out is a company that people have tried to buy or turn public for a long period of time. But they have been a family-owned operation. I think like the granddaughter runs it now. And they print money. And they just refuse to sell to anybody. Why? They're making so much money. They don't need anyone else. And it's one of those things, like, there's not a competing industry where some of these companies that go public for the influx of cash, who's the NFL competing against? So as long as they are doing well, I don't even think it's a broach subject internally. Now, you'd have to be naive, and I've said this forever. when I was early on in my life in the 90s, like growing up as a sports fan, baseball was huge. If you turned on sports talk radio, ESPN at the time, which was really the only 24/7 sports network, baseball for 6 months a year. I grew up, before I even knew who Colin was, I listened to Jim Rome. Baseball was huge on that show. Guess it was as big a sport as we had in this country. And what Michael Jordan did for the NBA, it was every bit as big as football in the 90s. Well, now football has lapped everything. But that's not for the foreseeable future, it's going to be like that, but in perpetuity. So I would never say never. But as of right now, given how much money they are making, I would say it's nowhere near anything like that happening. My question for the mailbag is this. What part does character truly play in the draft process? I've always been of the belief that in sports, talent seems to trump anything to a point. Do teams truly pass on problematic, talented players? I think this is true in life, right? In most of our businesses, you can be a crazy madman, but if you are a cash-producing individual, if you are, I just saw like Apple pays AI engineers like $10 million. Google, I mean, the amount of money, do you really care if they're a little fucking nutty or crazy or have a drinking problem or whatever? Probably not. So the cream of the crop, you always look past their issues. Football, AI, whatever industry we're all in, it does not matter. But that's a very, very small percentage. Most people are not the elite of the elite. And think about the NFL draft. I don't have the percentage offhand, but the percentage of people that play in college football relative to high school is very, very small. Then a percentage of those guys that make it to the NFL is very, very small. But even in that small percentage, let's just pick an even number. I don't know the exact amount of guys, the draft picks this year. I think it's like 270 maybe, 260. Let's just for argument's sake pick 250. Clearly, 20 plus of those guys, even in the first round, right? If NFL teams on average have 15 to 20, you know, typically graded guys as first round picks in a draft where, you know, there are a bunch of undrafted free agents that are on the fringe, where 300 plus players are draftable and only 250 actually get drafted. Yet going into the draft, the work, like the pool, there's 20 guys viewed as way better than the rest of the guys. Now, obviously, that plays out once they get into the workforce, aka start playing football, but it doesn't matter as much for the elite of the elite. Jalen Carter had major red flags. He was off some draft boards. He still went 9th overall. Why? He's fucking 6'5", 300 whatever, can run like a linebacker and can pass rush inside. Those human beings don't exist on this planet. But if Jalen Carter had been, okay, same off-the-field stuff, but he was 6'2.5", not as talented on film, instead of playing at Georgia, played at Fresno State, maybe he goes undrafted. So the talent has a huge impact on, let's just use the draft, which I think was your question, for sure, right? Guys with issues in the past fall in the draft all the time. Travis Kelce, 3rd-round pick. He even said, I was a major red flag coming out of college. Tyreek Hill, Joe Mixon. Like, guys fall in the draft for things that it's impossible to quantify. Was this a one-time issue? Is this an issue that's a non-negotiable in our franchise? Is this an issue that, hey, listen, we've met with the guy. Something happened when he was 19. He's been good since. We're dealing with human beings here. It's very, very hard to tell. Tyrann Mathieu, I think, is one of the great stories in the history of the league. He was kicked out of college. LSU kicked him off the team. He has been a team captain. I don't know if he is on the Saints or not. I would imagine he is. But on the Cardinals, on the Texans, and then on the Chiefs. Wore the fucking C on his jersey because the team voted him as the captain. People I knew with the Chiefs around him loved him. I mean, he's not as good as he once was, but guy was kicked off the team. Now, there are a lot of guys that are in similar situations, major red flag, and then have issues in the pros. So it plays a huge role, but it's impossible to like quantify. Everyone has a different way to gauge, like, okay, let's take him down. Or, okay, let's not take him. Also, the owner at any moment can say, let's just take the guy. And that's an element that we never truly get to find out because no GM or coach is ever saying, well, you know, we weren't quite as sure on this guy, but the owner wanted him. Just a crazy part of the draft, man. It really is. One easy question for the pod. How have the Bengals not fired Frank Pollock yet? It's a good question. I can't even begin. I don't know. You're probably asking the wrong guy, but I appreciate the question. Question for the mailbag. I know the NFL isn't likely to add any U.S.-based expansion teams in the near future, but when considering things like other professional teams and local college programs, what two markets do you think would make the most business sense for the league? I don't think the league's adding anything, right? I think Vegas made a lot of sense that they moved the Raiders. When you really look at the recent expansion, it wasn't expansion, it was movement, right? They St. Louis, they yanked them, put them in L.A., and people, old school people would say, St. Louis stole the team from us. You know, St. Louis, and I remember Joe Buck, they all got up in arms like, you guys remember, you stole that team from L.A. Oakland has a beef because the Raiders started there, and the Chargers just moved up the road. I don't really think there is one. I mean, name a city that's either growing or massive that isn't involved in the National Football League. I don't spend that much time thinking about this topic, but I can't see the league doing that, honestly. Question for the mailbag. What's all the hype around the new hype on J.J. McCarthy? Most of the talk is that he won a national championship. While they didn't need him to be electric, throwing the ball, but he gets praise for that. Just makes me wonder why Stetson Bennett, two-time national champion, barely got any coverage during the draft at all. Then he sent me some pictures, 5'11", 190. He gave me Stetson Bennett's, and then he gave me J.J. McCarthy's. Well, Stetson Bennett was one of the worst draft picks in the NFL last year by a country mile. Think about that. The Rams drafted him in the fourth round, and he fucking disappeared. Now, I've heard things. Maybe you've read some things. I've heard things that I don't think are really out there, but it's been a disaster. There's no way around it. Now, listen, everyone has our own issues, but, like, this is the real world. Like, I'm paying you a lot, and you're not around, and clearly the Rams are not counting on him at all. I mean, they just signed Jimmy Garoppolo. Last year, they had to sign Carson Wentz at the end of the season. So Stetson Bennett's irrelevant to the NFL now. Like, to me, Stetson Bennett's much more likely to be on TV talking about college football in the next couple of years. And I have no issue with him. I thought he was a really solid college player. Stetson Bennett is a multiple-time walk-on. Played on one of the most talented teams of all time. J.J. McCarthy was like a blue-chip guy for Harbaugh that easily helped him build around the best teams he's ever had. And obviously won a national championship. The other thing is the hype. What the media talks about and what the teams talk about aren't always the same, right? So the hype on Caleb Williams is one of those universal, we're all on the same page, or Zion Williamson or Bryce Harper. So there are certain young guys that everyone's like, a lot of hype on the player. Trevor Lawrence, right? A Bosa. Like, there are certain players that we're all kind of in agreement on, right? Marvin Harrison, whether he goes 5 or 8, we all agree he's a good player. Then there are guys like J.J. McCarthy that NFL people have been really intrigued by him for a couple years now. He started at 18, 19, and 20 years old. Isn't Stetson Bennett like 30 years old? And again, didn't even make it to week one, was just gone. You figure it out. I mean, it's not that complicated to figure out. Dude had some issues. And J.J. McCarthy, you know, is viewed as a really good prospect on and off the field, which matters. So I think J.J. McCarthy's just in a different universe as a player than Stetson Bennett. But the other thing is, like, how buttoned up you are off the field, that matters. That matters a lot. And I don't think J.J. has many questions when it comes to that. Love the show and question for the mailbag. Brady is being put into the Patriots Hall of Fame in June. I know it seems likely that Belichick will not attend the ceremony based on the last few months, but wouldn't it be an even bigger story if he weren't there? So they're putting him in the Patriot Hall of Fame in June. I haven't seen that. That doesn't make that much sense to me. Like, wouldn't you want to put him in the Hall of Fame? I don't know exactly how they do it, but on a game day, I guess they retired his number last year, right? Was that week one he was there? Yeah, he was there week one for the Eagle game. Didn't he run out? I don't know. I think that documentary is pretty bad. Me and Colin, Colin really likes it. I liked it until we got to the Aaron Hernandez, and then it's like, I played golf the other day with this dude that owns his whole family's been in the insurance business forever. He lives in Boston, big Boston accent, season ticket holder to the Patriots. He says him, all his friends, just the general consensus, people are pissed. That documentary, I think, jumped the shark early and fell apart, and it kind of lost me. But if I'm Bill, I'm like, this is what I told the guy. Robert's 80 plus years old, might be losing a step or two. That human nature, that's usually what happens. But I think Jonathan Kraft is a big driving force in the Patriots. It's been reported on, like, he's basically running it now. I don't think Belichick would piss on him if he was on fire. And I think vice versa. I think those two can't stand each other. So it would not shock me at all. Now, I think the reason Belichick, that last press conference, which was a little weird where they kind of hugged and kissed, there is mutual respect. They made a lot of money together. They had a lot of him and Robert. I don't think he would lift a finger for Jonathan Kraft. Now, I do think Tom is different. So if I was betting, Bill would show up for Tom and not say a word to Jonathan. I've become what seems to be a 3 times a day daily listener. How you put content, you truly appreciate it. First, with the Ohtani news scandal breaking, it makes me wonder if league officials feel like the direction of gambling has taken sports as less, more, or the exact public headache they expected it to be. Are they waiting for an old school minds in the public to change and not be concerned, or do you think they generally have fears of game-shattering gambling scandal? Well, think about this. For a game-shattering gambling scandal, a player would have to be paid off, a player or coach. Do you know how much money players and coaches make? Now, if Ohtani was betting on himself to lose, I completely agree that's a problem, right? But if he's just betting, let's just say he didn't bet on baseball. He makes $80, $90 million a year. He's making $2 million on the field this year, and he's making 70 plus, I read, off the field. When you have that type of money, and you're a competitive guy, you're kind of bored. I gamble. I gamble for entertainment, just like a lot of people. I work for my money. So when I saw the $4.5 million, which sounds like an astronomical amount to a lot of people, Phil Mickelson was betting a couple hundred thousand dollars a game. He was making $90, $80, $70 million a year for 10 plus years. Like, I can bet. I bet during the NFL playoffs $5,000 on some games, which some people would be like, that's crazy. Other people would say that's not very much. So to me, the money, who cares? Like, we're all in business with gambling. We're all gambling. If you have the right to impact a game and you're gambling on it, that's a problem. But if he's not, I don't think it matters at all. Now, the reason it's a problem with a bookie is because, like, if I were to win 50 grand on DraftKings, they would send me a 1099. If I bet 50 grand on something and won 50, so I got 100 back, I would get taxed on that $50,000 as income, right? I think I've never won 50 grand gambling or bet $50,000 a game, but you know what I mean. When I bet with a bookie and I bet $50,000 and I win 50, I ain't getting taxed on that money. And when he takes the 100 grand, he ain't getting taxed either. It's tax evasion. I think the story's about, it has nothing to do with the legalities. Now, California's gambling's illegal, but it's about money laundering and tax evasion. That's why the FBI is going after these people in 2024, especially when you're talking that amount of money. If you have the ability as a bookie to front someone $4.5 million in bets, you are either extremely independently wealthy or you're working with some big conglomerate, you know, black market thing. So I think the story kind of jumped the shark of he's gambling. Well, who gives a shit? NFL players are allowed to gamble. They just can't gamble on football. Was he gambling on baseball? To me, that's an interesting story. If he, you know, if he's not and he's working with his interpreter, clearly his interpreter got thrown under the bus. But the bookie thing is all about the taxes and the money. When the government can't get a hold of large amounts of money and you're not following the rules, they're going to come after you. That's why, I mean, if Ohtani had a 4.5 open credit line, think of some of the other people he was dealing with. I mean, this guy could have been dealing with millions upon million dollars worth of bets. Meaning when he wins, which, you know, clearly Ohtani's guy owed him $4.5 million, you think he's reporting that to Uncle Sam? Hell no. I don't exactly know how he would get that money back into the real world because cash, like, I couldn't walk into, like, the Ferrari dealership and hand them $300,000 for a Ferrari, right? I couldn't show up to, you know, Silverleaf down the road if I had $10 million in cash and just buy a $10 million house. It's not legal to do any of that stuff. You would have to prove where the money came from. So it seems like he has some bigger problems on his hands. But to me, the scandal is all about betting on your own sport, which these leagues are very, very strict on, which they should be because the integrity of the game, right? For the leagues, the health of the leagues. But I also got news for you. All this shit's good for business. This is all entertainment. This is not real life. This is all, it's their real life, but the whole business model is entertainment. Now, there's a fine line of like WWE can't be scripted, but it's much, much closer non-scripted to that than it is like turn on the news and see them reporting on some war, which who even knows if they're telling the truth either, but you know what I mean. Love the podcast, by far the best NFL discussion. God, a lot of positive people. I appreciate all the kind words. So many cookie cutter shows. Really enjoy you and Colin collaborating on Sunday night podcast throughout the season. We were supposed to go tonight, but I think we're going to end up going Monday. So we will have a podcast out Monday with me and him. Big Rams fan. Do you think that if the Rams look like a Super Bowl contender that full well believe how they finished last year, would Aaron Donald consider unretiring for a playoff run? That way, he wouldn't have to go through the rigors of the season and be kind of fresh, like Eric Weddle in 2021. If you remember when Luck retired, they had just given him a huge deal a year or two before. And part of when you retire, if they give you a signing bonus, right? If I, like last year, Aaron Donald, I don't know the details of his contract, but beside that he got $100 million and like 90 was guaranteed and he was making 30 a year. But let's just say they had given him a $45 million signing bonus. Part of that is for like the next three seasons, right? Well, if your contract's a couple more years and I gave you the $45 million signing bonus, realistically, I can come back and be like, hey, you owe me, you got to cut me a $20 million check or whatever the number. Sometimes you're just like, hey, keep it, which I would imagine the Rams would do for him. The Colts did it with Luck because they were always hoping he'd flip-flop. Be like, I'm returning. Pretty clear Donald is not just going to be like, I'm back. I'm back, guys. I'm ready. But he ain't going to get fat like me during the winter. So this is a guy that I would imagine at any moment, like, hey, I'm kind of getting the itch. It's October 25th. Hey, Aaron, the 53rd guy on our roster, we'll put him on the practice squad. Come on home, baby. Maybe it happens in November. Maybe it happens in December. Maybe it never happens. But I 100% would imagine McVay's going to constant communication, come around, come hang out with the guys. You're welcome to work out here. We want you to speak to the team all the time. So, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't stun me at all. Anytime a young player retires who can still really play, especially like Kelce, for example, if Kelce's playing, he has to play every snap. He's the full-time starter. He's the center. There's no avoiding the wear and tear. Be like, hey, Aaron, come back. Play like 25 snaps a game. I've been a diehard Steelers fan since I was 8. I was fortunate enough to watch the 05 Super Bowl run, specifically remember being glued to the screen watching Troy and his badass hair make play after play.
Legend.
My question for you is this. What is your favorite early NFL viewing experience that you remember to this day? Can it be watching a specific player, team, game, Super Bowl? Keep up the work.
Well, I vividly remember watching, vivid would be strong. I remember watching at my buddy's house, the Niners-Chargers Super Bowl. I would have been like 9 years old. And the Niners beat the shit out of that Charger team. I guess I would have been 10 years old because it would have been in 95. So it would have been 10 years old. I remember much more closely the game where Steve Young threw the game-winning touchdown against the Packers to Terrell Owens. And Joe Starkey has the famous call, Owens! 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 I remember watching that game at this... I was probably 13 or 14 then. This lady named Laura, who kind of lived down the street, had been my babysitter when I was really young, and I think she was out of town, and we were watching her house, and I had gone over there to grab something for my mom, and maybe I watched the game, but I remember having the house to myself, watching the game, and the next day at school, I didn't have a voice. And they had those cool, like, Niner hats. I mean, every team had them, but the Niners, Cowboys, Packers all had those starter Niner hats that kind of had, like, a kind of look like a stock market on the bottom. I remember rocking that hat. So it would probably be some of that. Early Niner stuff, Steve Young, mid, late 90s. Favre versus Young, Aikman versus Young, Favre just in general. I remember going to a Giants game when they played a Candlestick in the mid 90s. I had gone to Dusty Baker baseball camp. Dusty Baker, Sacramento guy. And he used to have this baseball camp at Sac City when he was the manager from the Giants. And you go for like 3 or 4 days, and they bus you to a Giants game. It probably was my first ever game. And Barry hit a bomb into the outfield. I mean, Candlestick was such a shithole, but we were all sitting in the outfield, and it was cool. Hey, John, longtime listener from the 805, Santa Barbara. My dad and many of my friends went to Cal Poly, and I recently graduated from USC. Love football and the golf content. But I have a life question for you. I consider myself on a relatively good path, 25 years old, with a stable corporate job, saving money. From your stories, it seems like you've been frugal times to where you are today. Been through frugal times. It wasn't frugal. I wasn't making any money throughout my 20s. I just didn't have any cash. At what point did you feel past the comfortability threshold financially where you could enjoy the fruits of your labor? Any tips for being smart with your money outside of tailing your golf picks? I still don't really feel like that, to be honest with you, because I think in life, you know, you just kind of level up, right? You start renting an apartment, then you buy a condo, then I bought a house, and, you know, I used to play shittier golf courses, and then you play nicer golf courses, then ideally join a nicer club, and eventually I'm going to have a kid, maybe two, and your life just changes, so you just kind of... And I don't think, you know, I've never really related to the guy that's like, it's fine, it's almost Friday, finally Friday. Like, I enjoy what I do. So I don't really feel, and this is why my advice of doing what you enjoy to do is I'm never going to stop saying that till the day I get put 6 feet under the ground. Because it's really, really important to your mindset. My life doesn't feel like I need... I mean, sometimes I like getting out of the house to go to the golf course just to like see some sun. And I my only real hobby is like go to the gym. Like I don't do that much. My life's relatively simple. Now, I would say over the last couple years, vacations would be strong, but I've done a couple things that I wouldn't have done in the past. But I still am very hesitant. You know, as other people come into your life and they want to do stuff, it's like, you know, it's football season or it's like the draft. You know, it's something I'm still working on, and it's probably never going to just go away for me. But I definitely don't feel comfortable in the sense of, like, even right now, like, I also could eat Chipotle, like, twice a day, 7 days a week. You know, don't get me wrong, I like a good steak at, you know, at Morton's or Mastro's, but, you know, I like a good Taco Bell drive-thru as well, or Subway sandwich, like, I don't give a shit. So in a weird way, I can be bougie at some stuff, but I'm pretty simple. And it all gets back to, I just like doing this. And I don't feel like anything. Sometimes like, oh, I got to do this. even today, I'm recording this. It's Sunday night at 5:30 at night. I get to talk about football, answer questions on Instagram. I mean, this beats being a plumber. So I don't really think about it like that, I guess. I guess I'm of the mindset I kind of always want more. Now, I've, in a healthy way, like I'm not obsessed with, like, I got to have this, I got to make this. Like, obviously, I aspire and have aspirations and ambitions that, you know, I truly believe this, kind of just keep leveling up, you know, in a healthy way. Not obsessed with like 24/7, got to do this, got to do this. But the drive and the passion for the success of doing whatever I'm doing hasn't really changed from when I was making 20 grand at Fresno State or the Eagles to the time I got to be the West Coast scout to when I had a radio show to now doing a podcast with Coward. I think my mindset's been relatively consistent. So in a weird way, I love the stock market. I invest a lot of money. That would be my advice. Invest money. I don't give financial advice because I'm right and wrong, but invest money. And that's the only way to make your money work for you, especially early on in life. But like, I don't know. You know, I love money, like, because I like to invest and I want, you know, nicer shit, but I'm not consumed with it. So I think that helps kind of balance me out of like, I also don't really get envious. You know, I don't lead really a normal life. Like, I don't do, you know, I see my friends going on vacation, do a lot of fun shit. Not that I don't get to do fun shit, but like, I don't get caught up in that, which I think is very easy in 2024, and you're younger than me, that in the world we live in, like, it's easy to compare, right? Where they say comparison is the thief of joy or something, that it's an Instagram can make you, trust me, if you're single and you see your, you know, people dating ex-girlfriends or whatever, if you're struggling financially and you see, you know, people from college crushing, right? I think the perspective always is like, you got to be thankful for what you have and do everything you can humanly possible if you want more to try to get there. But I just try to keep kind of level-headed perspective. Now, it all gets back to, you know, when I was young, I didn't make any money in my 20s. And I never worked harder. Never. Because in football, you work these fucking insane days 9 months a year. And I made nothing. So it's like it kind of just numbed me to the process. I like working. You know? I enjoy working. And that's why I said, do something you like to do. And I think it's much easier to make more money that way because you'll just put in more time. Most people would not. I don't care how much money you make. If you hate your job, you're not going to want to work on Sunday night.
The Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.